Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is not dead, but he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. Our text for this second Sunday of Easter is from our gospel reading in John chapter 20. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." We broke his heart upon the cross. Out came the water and the blood. Weak-willed and sleepy, after our betrayal, we doubted and we feared. We are not worthy of his patience or his mercy. The sacrifice was too great. It shook creation and blotted out the sun. It is too much. But even in his anguish and his sorrow, his love was ever pure. It did not waver. It never faltered. He gently bestowed and gave what we had no right to demand, what we sought to steal by force and violence. He prayed for us to the very end. And the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He poured out his life that we would have it and live. From those five holy wounds, from the nail prints and the open side, came our hope and our life. Thomas was brought back to faith by the scars in Jesus' hands, feet, and side. Those five holy scars restored faith, not because they prove that Jesus is the one who was crucified back from the dead, that he who died that brutal and merciless death outside the city gates is risen and lives. They do demonstrate that. But so does eating broiled fish and walking through stones and doors and across the waves. Those scars restore faith because they are the doorway of grace. His blameless flesh was penetrated by hate. But that violence set his life free. The blood of God came forth to answer all of hell's demands. No one took his life from him. He is Lord. He gave it. He laid it down as a sacrifice. He appeased his Father's wrath. He stopped the devil's accusations. He gave peace and hope to men. From those holy wounds, from the spear, and out of death's tomb, comes the salvation of the world. The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation, is alive, and we are saved. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. 3 days after he died, he entered that upper room where he had given his body and his blood. He did not come to rebuke or chastise them, but to pronounce the peace he had won for them. He breathed his Holy Spirit upon them. He sent them out to bestow that same peace and spirit, to forgive sins and enlighten the hearts of men, to preach the glory of the cross and the beauty of those scars. The Church of Jesus Christ, in existence already in the Garden of Eden, was established Easter night in its final form. It was chartered in forgiveness. Its mission and purpose was clear: forgive sins. The apostolic office was immediately a greater and fuller office than that of prophet or priest. It was given to the apostolic ministry to stand in the stead of Christ and deliver his blood, not as a sacrifice to the Father, but as a gift to his people. Now all believers are priests. They all eat the bread of life, the flesh of Christ, that which was sacrificed, and are united to him. The apostolic ministers speak Christ's words in the first person. They forgive sins, and whoever they forgive is forgiven. They make alive in holy baptism. They rename fallen men Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They preach the word. They do not merely foretell things to come or establish a pattern in worship and in life of God's interaction with man. They preach Christ crucified and raised from the dead. They preach the fulfillment of all things. Their preaching bestows the Spirit and peace. It forgives sins and it reconciles men to the Father. This is the ministry that God provides even unto our day. The men who fill it are not any better than the fearful disciples who hid behind locked doors. They have their personal doubts, their acts of betrayal and cowardice, their self-centered worries. But through these earthen vessels, God's kingdom expands. Sinners are baptized and absolved. They hear the word and receive the body and the blood. Sins are forgiven. Whether the ministers understand it or not, the word of God goes forth and faith is born, and the gates of hell shall not overcome it. For Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. All this grace flows from the blessed marks of the violence that he suffered. He bears those scars in the perfected and ascended body of the resurrection. They are not blemishes, nor are they signs of our failure, of what we have wrongly done to him. They are not meant to induce guilt or sorrow. Quite the opposite. Those scars are the mark of his office. He was anointed for to thus die and rise again. It was his heart and will to buy us back with his blood. Those scars are the constant reminder of his love and our freedom in grace. Abel's blood is silent. Justice has been satisfied. The scars on Jesus' hands, feet, and side restore faith. They inspire Thomas to worship and to pray, "My Lord and my God," because he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever in Christ Jesus. Amen.